Welcome to the Talent Pool Podcast. I'm your host, Alan Kaplan, founder and CEO of Kaplan Partners, a retained executive search and board advisory firm headquartered in Philadelphia. My very special guest today is Rebecca Romero-Rainey, president and CEO of the Independent Community Bankers of America. ICBA, as it's affectionately known, is a national trade association representing thousands of community banks around the country. And before taking the helm of ICBA 5 years ago, Rebecca herself was a banker and CEO of a community bank started by her family over 50 years ago. I've known Rebecca through the industry for a number of years, and I am delighted to welcome you, Rebecca.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Alan. It's great to be here today.
So one of the key roles of ICBA is advocacy. You know, you're up on the Hill all the time. You're wired into the Washington world. But given all the partisanship that we're all seeing in Washington, how does a financial services trade association in an industry with bullseyes on its back for many not so really not appropriate reasons make its presence felt on key issues? And is it becoming harder to have an impact on some of what our legislators are thinking about?
Yeah, so great question. And I, you know, to answer the first part of it, it's actually quite simple. We stay completely focused on the politics of community banking. That is our politics. That's what determines our policy and drives our actions day in and day out. And we have a long history of doing just that. So in this hyper-partisan world, everything has become more difficult. But in this hyper-partisan world, that focus and the clarity of our mission, I would argue, makes us even more impactful than we ever have been before. We are fortunate as an organization. We know exactly who we represent, and that is community banks. I'm not an advocate for anybody other than community banks. And that message resonates here very well and has allowed us to continue our effectiveness. I think the real question and, you know, the both the challenge and the opportunity moving forward is in this, like I said, a hyper-partisan world with a lot of noise on many, many topics, how do we stay focused and ensure that there's priority given to our issue?
What's your thoughts on the regulation of fintech firms, crypto firms, credit unions, all of that? I know it's something you guys as an association spend a lot of time on.
The core of this one is it's all about creating a level playing field. Again, you know, whether we're talking credit unions, whether we're talking non-bank payments providers, whether we're talking the evolution of whatever this digital assets and crypto environment looks like moving forward, it is our priority in all of this is to ensure that if we're talking the business of banking and we're talking banking products, that the regulatory frameworks and the rules of the road that get written today and moving forward allow a path where banks can compete fairly. And I've always said, you know, I'll match up any community bank against another competitor any day, as long as we're playing on a level playing field. And so that is why, you know, we spend so much time focused on those areas, is there's some real challenges out there. There are some real threats as we think about the competitive pressures that are building and some of these industries that have grown without a regulatory framework that is not at all a level playing field. And that those are the kind of things that keep me up at night, that really, for me, reinforce why we do what we do, why that work is so important, that constant engagement, that constant education, and continuing to just push back, regardless of what it is that we're talking about, to ensure the banks have the opportunity to compete fairly.
What's your message to your community bank members? What would you like to see them doing more of, whether it's for customers or for the industry? You know, what do we need to ramp up our game in?
I think community banks are already doing so much to serve their customers and communities, but what we aren't doing is really telling that story, maybe as much as we could or should. I think one of the, you know, sometimes I say that community banking is one of the best kept secrets in terms of what these institutions do to literally, like I said earlier, create economic development. They're taking local deposits, turning that into local loans, and the multiplier, the growth, the impact, much less what they do to engage. I mean, there are just so many stories to be told there. And so that's something that we at ICBA are doing quite a bit, is trying to help encourage folks to tell those stories, to help educate the American public, Congress, everyone, in terms of, you know, what this business model is all about and how we are so different from other financial services providers. So telling your story would probably be the first thing I would start with. I think the second thing, obviously, as an advocacy organization, the grassroots engagement of community bankers is so critical. And I've had bankers tell me over the years, you know, what is one more letter going to do, or what is one more phone call going to do? And my response is, it's going to make all the difference. Because if they're not hearing from you, they're hearing from somebody else on the other side of the story. And you have the opportunity to either set the record straight or demonstrate a need where they could solve for. But again, if we're not taking advantage and engaging in those grassroots advocacy arenas, we're doing ourselves a disservice, I guess I might say. I mean, this is one of the easiest things you can do to help grow the value of your franchise over time is advocacy. And we at ICBA make that so easy for bankers to do. I mean, we send out our calls to action. Sometimes it's just a couple of clicks to get that letter sent. You can do more to personalize and tell more of the story, but we really try to make it easy, because at the end of the day, every letter, every phone call makes a difference. And that's something that I think we as an industry can really do more of. And the third thing I would say goes back to what we were talking about earlier. What are you doing to help develop the future of your community bank from a management, ownership, and board succession perspective? And if the answer is nothing, then I think we need to ask ourselves some really hard questions, because there should be something, you know. And again, I know we can't tackle everything in one day, but there should be something that I'm able to say, this is a person I'm grooming. This is a group of people that I've identified to do additional professional development this year. And these are folks that I've communicated to that they have a strong future in the organization. Sometimes it's as simple as that. Folks making sure that they know that they have a place there. You don't have to give them a title. We don't have to have all of that figured out. They just need to hear from us that there's a plan. And so something needs to be the answer there as we think about succession and some engagement. So, you know, again, some things that are maybe a lot easier to do than we may think, some things that take a bit of time, but that active engagement in telling our story, advocating for this industry, and helping to develop the future of the industry, I think are key and vital to the strength and health of the industry moving forward.
Where are we as a banking industry, because we are so essential for the economic growth of our communities?
What I'm hopeful for, and where I think, you know, some of the challenge comes from, is we've seen continued consolidation. We've not seen nearly as much de novo activity as I think we should see. And that's another piece, you know, when I talk about the things that keep me up at night, that's an area where, you know, my hope, my plan, and a lot of energy is spent in terms of how do we think about new birth and growth of charters. And, you know, I think about, you know, our family story, and, you know, our bank was chartered with $300,000 in capital. You know, today folks would say it's, you know, 30 million, you know, is the starting point. And that's ridiculous, you know, especially when we think about small communities where that local charter is so desperately needed. And that amount of capital is not at all necessary in terms of what they're trying to do. So that's a piece that, as I think about the future, that's what I want to see there. But in terms of total numbers, where we end up, it's a real question mark to me. And I think a lot of it's going to depend on our ability as an industry to do better with succession planning. It's going to depend on our ability to really tell our story and develop those future customers, because they understand who and what the community bank is and why it's different and why I should do business there. And that, I will tell you, I'm incredibly hopeful for. It's our mission at ICBA is to create and promote an environment where community banks flourish. And that word to me means a lot. The word flourish, it's not just survive, it's not just thrive, but to flourish. And that, I think, we have the ability as an industry to do. We have overcome so many different obstacles as I think back historically and how we've been able to pivot, how we've been able to embrace technology, sometimes maybe a bit slowly, but in ways that really have made a difference for organizations. And I think as we think about all of those pieces, that's what gives me hope is, you know, despite some of the declining numbers and some of the headwinds that we're facing, there's a lot of strength in these industry and in those smaller numbers. I'll take those chances any day.
Well, that's a great positive way to wrap up this conversation, Rebecca. And I can't thank you enough for sharing your thoughts and your perspective and your wisdom with us today. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. There's nothing more I like talking about. So thank you for the opportunity here to engage, Alan.
You've been listening to the Talent Pool Podcast. I'm your host, Alan Kaplan from Kaplan Partners. If you'd like to hear more from our guests or listen to our other podcasts or learn more about our firm, visit kaplanpartners.com. Thank you for joining us.